Good evening, brothers and sisters, young people. Good to see everyone this afternoon. It's probably going to be a short exhortation tonight, so we should have plenty of time to fellowship one with another. The subject matter I'd like to speak about tonight is abominations within the Bible. And of course, this isn't going to be on all of them because there's very many, but yeah, we will speak about a few. I previously had wrote this exhortation back when Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty spoke out about the abomination in the sight of God known as homosexuality. The word abomination is found in the King James Version of the Bible 142 times. So, what is an abomination? When we examine the Greek and Hebrew words translated abomination in Scripture, we see that these words have very definite implications. Abomination is used exclusively to describe things that are disgusting, loathsome, and absolutely intolerable, things that are unacceptable to God. We as brothers and sisters of Christ would do well to take a note of what God labels abominations. Such things, whether they are actions, attitudes, or objects, have no place in the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. Some of the most notable abominations before God include dishonesty, arrogant pride, ignoring God's law, devising evil and sowing discord, and as we mentioned earlier, the act of homosexuality. These are just a few. The book of Revelation explicitly states concerning the New Jerusalem that God is preparing for His people. It says, quote, "There shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." And that can be found in Revelation 21, verse 27. In the kingdom age, there will be no room for abominations. If we want to be a part of that kingdom, now is the time to look to God and with His help, rid ourselves of the things that could keep us out. What I would like to do tonight is examine some of these abominations so we can rid them out of our lives and have hope of eternal life in God's kingdom. The book of Proverbs is full of passages concerning abominations. And we're probably going to read a lot of scripture tonight, so have your Bible ready. Let's go ahead and turn over to Proverbs. Most of these scriptures will come out of Proverbs. Proverbs 3, verse 32. First thing I want to speak on is being froward. Proverbs 3, verse 32, it says, "For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous." Now flip over to Proverbs 11, verse 20. It says, "They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight." Proverbs 6, verse 14. It says, "Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord." Proverbs 8, verse 13. It says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." Now, the beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord. It says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." We are told in this verse that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. We are warned repeatedly of being froward and told that it is an abomination. What does it mean to be froward? According to a King James Bible dictionary, froward means perverse, deceitful, false, or one who turns aside. Proverbs 4, verse 24 tells us to put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Perversity of mouth is fraudulent, deceitful speech. that which twists, distorts, perverts, or misrepresents what is true, and hence is considered falsehood. Turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 16 through 19. These are seven things that the Lord hates. If you don't have these verses marked in your Bible, it'd be good to mark them. Proverbs 6, beginning at verse 16, it says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." We were told in Proverbs 8, verse 13, that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. One aspect of the fear of the Lord is to love what God loves and to hate what he hates. If we align our lives with God and his truth, we will hate what he hates. Therefore, this list serves to inform us of things we too should hate and things we should not allow within our own lives. We should be humble, always tell the truth. We shouldn't even think of murder. We should have our heart on things above rather than things beneath, and we should avoid mischief and trouble at all times. We should never sow discord among our brethren, but should work to strengthen and encourage one another. What about those that know the truth of God's word and have turned from it? God hates this as well. Turn with me over to Proverbs 28, verse 9. It says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." We are told in John 9, verse 31, that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. There's a big if here. God hears us if we worship God and if we do his will. If we do not do his will and worship him according to the prescribed manner in which God has ordained, but we turn our ear from his word and do what we want to do, and then pray to him, he considers it an abomination. If we know the truth and turn from it, but still seek God, he will not hear us. 2 Peter 2, verses 20 through 22, says the following. Let's look that up. 2 Peter 2, verses 20 through 22. Well, yeah, 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. "For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." We must not forget the Lord and his truth, but we must remember his word, and we will be promised blessings according to Proverbs chapter 3. So let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. I'm going to read the blessings that were promised if we remember his word. Starting at verse 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." And here's the blessings. "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. So we should always remember God's word and never to turn from it. And it should reflect in our actions and everything that we do. Another thing that God hates is dishonesty. There are many verses that speak of this. Proverbs 12, verse 22 tells us, "Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight." Proverbs 8, verse 7, "For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips." Proverbs 11, 1, "A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight." Proverbs 19, 9, "A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish." Now, Jesus was the ultimate servant of God in our example. God wants a servant that speaks the truth, believes the truth, and lives it, not someone who speaks lies and denies. Now turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 15. I find this verse very interesting in the politically correct world in which we live today. "Those who stand up for God's words are condemned, and those who are worldly are put on a pedestal." It also reminds me of Jesus and Barabbas. Barabbas was set free and Jesus was crucified. Proverbs 17, verse 15 says the following, "He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord." So what about Phil Robertson off of Duck Dynasty? He condemned homosexuality because the Bible says it's wrong, and he was condemned. While the wicked act of homosexuality and those who live that way are justified by our politically correct media and networks such as A&E. Both the act of justifying the wicked and condemning the just are considered abominations to God. While we're on the subject of homosexuality, let's discuss what the Bible says about this. The Bible consistently tells us that homosexuality is a sin. Turn with me over to Genesis 19, verses 1 through 13. This is the account of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. I'd like to read it. Genesis 19, verses 1 through 13. "And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with him, with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Now turn over to Jude chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Alright, verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. These evil people were destroyed by God for their wicked ways and made an example, the Bible tells us. Now turn over to Leviticus 18, verse 22. It says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." And also Leviticus 20, verse 13. It says, "If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them." The Old Testament speaks of homosexuality as an abomination, and so does the New Testament. Turn over to Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 27. Romans chapter 1, 24 through 27. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 says the following, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." Does everyone know what the word effeminate means? Effeminacy describes traits in a human male that are more often associated with feminine nature, behavior, mannerisms, style, or gender roles, rather than masculine nature, behavior, mannerisms, styles, or roles. And the last of this verse, when it says abusers of themselves with mankind, this is speaking of homosexuality. This verse clearly states that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible teaches that homosexuality is a result of denying and disobeying God. When people continue in sin and unbelief, God gives them over to even more wicked and depraved sin in order to show them the futility and hopelessness of life apart from God. God also says that men dressing like women and that women dressing like men is an abomination. Turn with me over to Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. You see more and more of this every day. It's a terrible thing. It says, the women shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, we live in troubling times where homosexuality runs rampant. It's in the movies, it's on TV, the internet, music, basically any form of media available to mankind. You know, computers, phones, it's on everything. Can we spend more time entertaining ourselves with these things, such as TV, movies, music, computers, phones? Can we spend more time with these things instead of reading our Bibles? Yes, we can, and these things can be considered modern-day idols. Turn with me over to 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 8. Idols were always a big abomination to the Lord. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 8. It says, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. This is what we as brothers and sisters of Christ must do as well. We must put down our modern day idols and renew the altar of the Lord by reading our Bibles and putting the Lord first. God considers anything that we put before Him as an abomination. We should never esteem anything higher than God. Luke 16, verse 15. Let's turn there. Luke 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. This verse tells us that God knows our hearts. He knows what we put first. That which is highly esteemed and praised among men, things of the world, are foolishness and abominations to God. In conclusion, we have discussed many things this evening that are considered an abomination. We discussed dishonesty, arrogant pride, ignoring and turning away from God's laws and truth, devising evil, sowing discord, homosexuality, cross-dressing, being froward, hands that shed innocent blood, feet that are swift to mischief, a false witness, justifying the wicked and condemning the just, and finally, idolatry. God hates these things, and so should we. Turn with me over to Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 24. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, and here's a question, shall he live? Next we're told the answer. All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. In closing, we have a hope for eternal life. But if we participate in things considered abominations in the Bible and let sin rule our lives, we have nothing to look forward to but eternal death. God hates sin, and so should we if we fear the Lord and have wisdom. Let's keep our minds on things above rather than things beneath. In closing, I want to read two verses. First, turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 9. Proverbs 15, verse 9. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he that loveth him, that followeth after righteousness. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Now turn with me for the last verse. I want to read Romans chapter 6, verse 23. This is a very good verse. I know we read it a lot. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Thank you.